2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Come check us out, DFSArmy.com. Got a lot of new tools to show you guys, including some new tools for PGA that will help out a lot with the betting market. We'll get into it in a bit here, but definitely come check us out using the link in the description. Also check out our Beat the Bookie product, which is brand new. And it will take care of everything you need as far as betting goes. I know that it was just legalized this year through the Supreme Court. And as the states unroll a legalization state by state, and as DraftKings and FanDuel themselves are setting up their own sports book, you'll want to get a head start on some sharp betting, build the bankroll up a little bit. Come check us out, tiny.cc/beatthebookie. Or use the link in the description of this video or podcast. And come check out the new product, Beat the Bookie. And of course, for DFSArmy.com, if you want to check out our research station and the Domination Station Lineup Optimizer, it has everything you need. It completely covers every PGA Tour event, even throughout the swing season and beyond on through next year. And of course, all of our NFL, NBA, MLB, WNBA, NASCAR, you name it content. We cover it all over at DFSArmy.com. You can use promo code TACO on sign up to support the pod and get a lifetime 10% off. Fixed rate that will never change. And you can come get a free month also as well. Just use the link in the description. Come check us out. And let's get lost in the stats together here. It's the first week of the playoffs. The Northern Trust used to be called the Barclays, and it is the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We'll have 3 weeks in a row here before the Tour Championship in Eastlake, and from there a champion will be crowned. But in order to get through onto next week, you just have to stay out of the bottom 20 this week in the playoff standings. You can miss the cut here and still be fine. We've had several withdraw already. Ricky Fowler, Stenson, Rory McIlroy. These guys are pretty safe on points. There's a little injury concern with Fowler, so get better, Fowler. But the guys at the bottom, they're going to be playing for their playoff lives here. You know, just one win, you know, and that can boost you up so much in the standings. I mean, Patton Kizzire is currently ranked 15th, and he has only made like 40% of his cuts on the year. It's been really bad for him, but just anyone can turn it on at any second and come home with the championship. So the guys at the bottom will be a little bit motivated here. And, it makes for an overall stronger course. And the best thing about it, this week is we have at least like 35 rounds of data on every single one of these golfers in the field since they all had to play pretty much a full schedule and qualify for this event. So that really helps things out statistically. And that's why it's a good week to try out the new simulator model. I can talk about that a little bit here. You go to the research station, just click on simulator, and you can see, let it run just thousands of times. And the basis of the simulator here is just use their round by round data for the entire year. Not just what they scored in comparison to the field, you know, how different they are from the field, usually what kind of upside and downside they have. And I use that to just create a normal distribution of outcomes, kind of randomized each round for each golfer in an event, and compare them to, of course, everyone else in the field. Kind of ran a mini tournament and just used that to simulate the tournament, had a cut and everything. And I just repeat that thousands and thousands of times. So we can see things like what their average finish is, what their average score on the course is, what percentage of the time they make the cut. You'll notice that guys are making the cut at a much higher clip this week than usually. And that's just due to being a reduced field of 100 and looks like 122 right now. And 70, top 70 in ties making the cut. That's over half the field making the cut each time. But you can see what percentage of the time hit top 60, 50, 40, 30, 20. Top 10, top 5, and of course, win. And that's excellent for GPP, first and foremost. The win percentage, top 5 percentage. You want to look at guys that really pop off in that for your high upside GPP plays. Just a quick example here, you know, Justin Thomas, his average finish in the simulation results was actually lower than Dustin Johnson's average finish, but Dustin Johnson won the tournament 11.5% of the time. As for Justin Thomas, only won 4% of the time. Just goes to show how, you know, Thomas is more consistent, but Dustin Johnson, he has just so much more upside in his round-to-round abilities here. He's just, his stats are just freaking ridiculous, but unlike Thomas, he has actually, you know, missed a cut on the year, and he's had several bad rounds, is where Justin Thomas has yet to have anything worse than a double bogey all season long. Dude's just been crazy consistent. You can see the make the cut odds also. He's at 91%, while Dustin Johnson's sitting at about 88%. And, you know, the differences aren't terribly huge, but it really, really does show you, you know, who from the mid-range or whatever has, you know, some sort of upside to get a top five or a win. And then if you're going for cash games, of course, the make the cut percentage, just something you want to really focus on. You know, like a guy like Ryan Moore, of course, is going to pop out in this. His make the cut percentage is ridiculous. It's up there with Zach Johnson, Webb Simpson, and Tony Finau, despite being over $1,000 cheaper than them. But all of those guys have a significantly higher chance of winning this tournament, as where Ryan Moore pretty much never is going to win this thing. Very, very low chance of that. But you can see, you know, just another example of a guy being a real cash game play. And of course, I love Ryan Moore in cash this week. That's, you know, that's, it makes a lot of sense. So come check that out. Also with the strokes gained category, trying to reduce a little bit of clutter on the main DraftKings and FanDuel tabs. There's so many statistics that are helpful and insightful, but you know, I don't want to have to force everyone to buy two monitors just to look at this thing. So I kind of reduced the off the tee approach, round the green putting stats, you know, for strokes gained. You know, it has its own tab, strokes gained. If you want a full breakdown of everything, you know, look at the last 10, 25, 50 rounds, look at each of their individual last 10 rounds, what percentage of the time they gain strokes in each category and all that, the standard deviation, all that. If you want to check that out, definitely go to the strokes gain tab. That's on the research station. Super duper handy, I promise you. Once you, if you never checked this out before, check out the strokes gain tab on a stat cruncher simulator. You know, you're never going to want to leave. It's pretty good stuff, but yeah, I moved the a lot of the different strokes gain splits to the strokes gain tab just to help with the main page here a bit. And then the main number I'm using for the strokes gain numbers now, instead of just using, you know, a season-long average or something like that, what I did was I just ran a linear regression through all of their rounds in each category up to, you know, the current state and time. And, you know, it projects basically what their next, you know, what their most likely strokes gain score the next time around is going to be. Just pretty much a forecast for what their strokes, you know, what they expect the strokes gained numbers to be, just given, you know, how they've done the course of the season, how wildly variant their upswings and downswings are, you know, stuff like that. So that gives you a really nice and concise number to work with here that's, about as accurate as anything you're going to be looking at. You can get a better idea, of course, at who's been doing better lately and who's been getting worse and regressing and stuff by using the stroke scan tab. But if you just want a quick, you know, look-see, like, you know, who's the best at approach from all the studs, that's going to definitely point you in the most accurate position I can. So I'm really happy with how that is. And then I added one more stroke scan putting tab, and that will just focus on the exact green types that we are on. And like, say this week we're on Poa Anua greens, we can compare, you know, how guys putt on Poa Anua greens compared to their baseline strokes gained putting averages. And I also included the sample size there, so you can see if anyone's just only had like two or three rounds or whatever. So yeah, those are some of the changes I made. Of course, we got the live updating odds, and I think by next week I'm gonna set the live updating odds to try and use MyBookie, since we're sponsored by MyBookie, actually. We're gonna have a live comparison of the simulator odds to their top 10, top 20 odds as we see them come out. Just today they had the top 10 odds were posted, and actually our top value we saw immediately was Bo Hostler. And that line quickly changed, as you know, it was kind of obvious that they had him a little undervalued for the top 10 odds there. But I don't like doing winners myself, but top 10, top 20 is definitely something we're going to want to check out. So we're going to have that set up here in the future. Should be really nice for the sportsbook betting guys out there. And yeah, let's get into this field here. This course, at least, let's start with that. You know, this is a rotating course event, and we are at Ridgewood Country Club. We haven't played here at this course, at this event, since 2014. We also played here in 2010 and 2008. So keep that in mind when looking at the course history. We've got it kind of separated, and, you know, bolded the years that, you know, that actually kind of matter here. You can see the last 3 years if you want. I mean, some guys have really good results over the last 3 years, but it's a different course, so we don't really care too much. Now, yeah, when I ran the numbers in the, this is another cool thing you can check out, the historical performances tab, and you can see how everyone has fared in this tournament since 2010. All three of the years here, you can see everyone's fantasy points performances. I have it sorted by top fantasy scorers. In 2010, 2014, the two winners there, those are the only guys that have teed it up here on the PGA Tour, at least since 2010, that have scored over 110 fantasy points. And, you know, last week, if you looked at it, you saw that there are so many guys that hit the 120, 130, 140 fantasy point mark. And, you know, with this week, it's not really going to be the case. It's going to be much harder to go too far under par. The average score here is actually dead even, right at par. So it actually makes it harder than the average PGA Tour event. Of course, we don't really know a whole lot about the what all has happened recently with this course, but we know the greens are set to championship speed. The rough's kind of dried out and dead. I forgot to give you guys the measurements of this. I'm always forgetting something here. Ridgewood Country Club is a 7,385-yard par 71 with a wide mix of holes. You've got usually, you know, the last few weeks, I've always pointed out, you know, one of the par 4 ranges usually ends up with a lot more than another. You know, last week we had, what was it, like 8 or 9 medium-length par 4s. This week, it's a kind of a good mix. You've got two short par 4s, one par 4 under 300 yards. That's going to be drivable for the players. And you've got four medium-length par 4s and five longer par 4s. And yeah, for the other hole types, you were definitely leaning longer. I mean, it's almost 7,400 yards. It's not even a par 71. And all three of the par 3s are very long. You've got two over 600 yards. So that's going to be Real boost to the guys like Justin Thomas, who can really light it up with the longer par fives. Then with the par threes, you've got one pretty darn short par three, 150 yarder. Then you've got three real long ones, about 200 and over. So it's a different course, different looking course than we've seen recently. And as far as the, you know, the field strength goes, it's not really a major. You know, all the guys at the bottom are definitely better than you would see at a major because everyone here is qualified and all that. Only a couple of the best golfers in the world skipped out on this tournament, so it's going to be very strong. And we're going to look to one of the adjusted field rank splits this week as strong fields, and we're going to kind of look to that. And as far as statistics go, strokes gained approach, it's going to be key here. You know, you've got the elevated greens, and usually players go less than driver here. If you look back, the average driving distance, 275 yards off the tee. So guys really love to club down here. And you see that strokes gained off the tee just doesn't really matter as much. You know, it matters almost half as much as strokes gained approach and strokes gained putting also. You definitely need to putt well here. Every single person in the top 20 scorers in fantasy points have gained strokes putting. I can't really say that about most other stats, but also they've also gained strokes around the green, but just ever so slightly, most of them. A lot of the highest end scorers here are gaining significant strokes putting. Maybe if you're going through the strokes gain tab, you kind of want to look for guys maybe with more volatility, especially high-end volatility with their putting, or maybe you even might want to target just good putters overall. Because if you go by the season-long correlations here, I know I only have two of the years, 2014, 2010, set up with the season-long averages for those guys, but from what we can see, you know, strokes gained off the tee, approach, around the green, putting, they all come in low, and they all come in, you know, similarly, really close together. You know, approach just slightly the most important determining factor of fantasy scoring. But, you know, overall, when you're looking at what matters in the event, greens regulation percentage, putting, strokes gained approach, those are definitely key here. Approach always is going to be so important. And this week, certainly no exception. And there's not really any sort of advantage to being a bomber or even being that accurate off the tee. Actually, season-long driving actually had a negative correlation here. So I'm not really worried about the off-the-tee stuff this week. I might go by strokes gained off the tee, if anything. But I'm going to really be focused on stroke gained approach, overall form, you know, how guys do in the sim, how guys have looked over the last 15, 25 events in adjusted field rank. Adjusted field rank and strong fields, of course. Maybe a little bit of putting on POA, but, you know, I don't want to target it too much. Just something neat to really look at for... at least for a few guys. There's some notable guys that either really struggle or are really, really good. Might focus on those guys. But also the projected fantasy point score for the course with the unique setup, I think that's also going to be key to look at this week. Recent form, of course. Always so important. But yeah, let's get into the dive here. We're going to cover everyone, Justin Rose and above, on DraftKings. For the free section of this podcast. I know that Rose is under 10K here, but come on, he is, you know, he's a super stud. So I don't know why he is not in the 10K range. DraftKings is kind of joking here. But anyway, Dustin Johnson, $11,500 on DraftKings, $12,400 on FanDuel. He's always the favorite. Every tournament he steps up to. Like I had mentioned earlier, the sim gives him an 11% chance of winning, ranked second overall on average finish, 88% made the cut percentage. On you're looking at the strokes gained, I mean, off the tee, he pretty much always does work, of course. Approach has been, his approach game has kind of struggled over the last 10, but you know, if go back season long, it's always really, really good. And even struggling for him is averaging 0.6 strokes gained approach. I mean, that's, you know, pretty darn good for a struggle with him. So he can get that going anytime he wants, really. Around the green stuff, average putting, average, slightly above average, but pretty much he gains strokes in every category. He's one of the very small handful of guys we can say that about. And the adjusted field rank splits are just nasty for him. 97% adjusted field rank on the three hard courses he's played on the season, 88% in the eight strong fields that he's played, 91% overall season long adjusted field rank. I mean, the dude's a beast. It's ridiculous. I mean, his top 10% on the year is 62%, top 20%, 85%. So 85% of the time he's finishing top 20 in full field events. He's only played 11 of them on the season, though. He's had a abbreviated schedule, but you know he can light it up anytime he tees it up. Ninth here in 2010, didn't play in 2014. Third at the U.S. Open, third at the Bridgestone, of course, won in Canada. That was more of a birdie fest with a bunch of par fives. Those were shorter par fives as well. This is all about the longer par fives. And, you know, you'd figure DJ would be the best at that, but it's not, actually. He's kind of down there with the rest of the, like, a lot of the studs are, you know, the average right around 1.6 fantasy points per hole, maybe 1.7 fantasy points per hole, right in that range. Almost all the studs are right there. Brooks kind of struggles a little bit in that realm, but it's Justin Thomas who sticks out significantly. Averaging 1.94 fantasy points per hole on long par five. So let's talk about him here a little bit. Justin Thomas, your recent, he followed up his win at the WGC Bridgestone with a sixth place finish at the PGA Championship, making up for that miscut at the Open Championship. And yeah, it's the problem with him is his price on FanDuel. He's affordable, $11,800. You can definitely play him. On DraftKings at $11,200, with DJ only being $300 more, and him being $500 over the next closest guy on the board, you really do have to pay a pretty penny for Justin Thomas. And unfortunately, it's the pricing's a little bit tighter this week than we would see in something like a major, where we have a field like this. So, you know, Thomas was a freebie play back at the Bridgestone, even at the PGA Championship. His price was just so freakishly low. Now he's definitely back to where he'd kind of been priced all season long, right up at the top of the board. Ranked number one in average finish in the sim, of course, 91% made cut percentage. And yeah, it's just, I mean, on the season, he has that 92% made cut percentage as well. Just had the one miscut at the Open Championship. So in America, he's perfect as can be. And that goes back a long ways. I mean, just playing really consistent. He's never played this course, but this event, he's never finished worse than 16th. And with Thomas, it's basically like, if you can afford him, definitely play him. It's just really hard to afford him, especially since you're going to want to play a lot of the guys I'm about to talk about here. I love Thomas. You know, his approach game is filthy right now. If you go look at his strokes gained approach numbers right now, they are nasty. Let's see here. We've got, oh my gosh, he's gained strokes approach in 8 straight rounds, and he's gained over a stroke approach, or he's gained over 2 strokes approach in 4 of those rounds. Just really good numbers from him. 80% of the time he's gaining strokes approach in any given round. Just crazy consistent with that all season long. And obviously it's what's given him all of the success. You know, you might think of him as more of a driver and off the tee kind of guy, but Not really. Really, it's just he hasn't even he hasn't gained more than half a stroke approach or off the tee in any split until you go back to the last 50. Usually, his off the tee stuff, you know, he's just long and inaccurate, but you know, makes up for it with a godly approach game. Just such a clean iron stroke for him. So, you know, if we're at a ball striker's course and he's the looking like one of the best ball strikers, definitely the best ball striker, if you're looking at the last 10 rounds, by far over everyone else in this field. Yeah, Justin Thomas, I'm going to have me some exposure. Can't get him there in cash, but in GPP, I definitely got luck to him. And you've got Jason Day. Such an interesting case, Jason Day here. Crazy good course history. Runner-up in 2014, 5th in 2010, and 31st in 2008. And statistically, he's been bad with his approach game, but it's come around on him so much recently, and that's kind of scary. His numbers, it's hard to argue with his results this season. 75% of the time, he's finishing top 20. That's a ridiculously good number. So, three-fourths of the time, finishing top 20 in full field events. He's just like DJ, kind of been playing a bit of a reduced schedule this season. He's only played 12 events on the season, but 8 of those top 20s. And how does he do it? Not through approach, as I've found out. If you're looking at Jason Day, recently, it's been weird. He's had 4 rounds recently in his last 10 where he's gained like 2 or more strokes approach. Pretty much everything else besides that is like losing strokes approach. He does that very consistently. He does that 64% of the time. 64% of the time on the season he loses strokes approach. But over the last 10 rounds, his average would be over half stroke gained, just because he's been having these rounds where he just pops off for, you know, crazy amount of strokes gained, and then he'll follow them up with losing strokes the next day. It's really weird. He does not get it done through the iron play at all, but this is where this is what makes Day so great for what he does. He's pretty much the best around the green, outside of like Jamie Lovemark, who is ridiculous around the green. But we've always known that Jason Day has been a ridiculously good putter, one of the best putters on tour year after year, and that's actually been going away from him recently. But the around the green stuff, always just ridiculously good. And you know, like I said, it's really hard to argue with his results. His recent form, four straight top 20 finishes. Then before that, he missed the cut at the U.S. Open. So, you know, what do you do with him? He seems like kind of almost a cash game play with how often he pops off for top 20s. I'm kind of on the fence with him because statistically he's not the kind of guy I would like to target. But I know that, you know, if I'm seeing a lot of these winners, you know, gaining 2.5 or more strokes putting, I know that Jason Day is absolutely, absolutely capable of doing that on any given day. And if his approach game is coming around at all and he can have like a decent iron striking day, you know, he could really pop off here. But I'm definitely going to favor Thomas. I think Day is going to be a lot higher owned. That's no question in my mind about that. So, yeah, going to kind of lean towards some of the other guys here. I'll kind of let the field have Day. I've kind of been doing that all season long, and it's not really worked out for me all that great. But, you know, at least he's getting top 20s and not really getting a ton of top 5s. I know 33% top 5% is just pretty, you know, pretty darn good, especially with the 2 wins. But you can get very similar value in that regard from much, much cheaper plays here. About to talk about these guys. One of my favorite plays for the entire slate here. Really, the next 3 guys I'm talking about here, the one I'm finishing you 3 guys off with, are just 3 kind of slam dunk plays in my mind. Let's start off with Brooks Koepka, $10,500 on DraftKings, $12,300 on FanDuel, only $100 cheaper than Dustin Johnson. They are really making you pay if you want to play Brooks over there. But statistically, the dude has been insane. Over his last 10 rounds, gaining almost a stroke and a half off the tee, and almost a stroke approach as well. That's been kind of a little bit more wild with him, the approach work. But, he's gained strokes in 7 straight rounds approach. Really, it's just his numbers would be way, way better if he didn't lose 5 strokes approach 10 rounds ago. And that was during the Canadian Open when he just finished like dead last. But since then, he's had 5 rounds where he's averaged, or where he's gotten 2 or more strokes gained approach, including, 4 of his last 6 rounds played. The dude, since coming back from injury, the dude has just crushed it. Kind of always thought he was capable of this level of play, and he was looking about this good before running into the injury there. But the dude's won 2 of the last 3 majors he's teed it up at, and that is pretty freakishly good. And then of course the recent performance at Bridgestone, the PGA Championship. Numbers are crazy with him. Putting, he's been losing strokes putting recently too, which is just even more juicy. Because, long term, Brooks is a ridiculously good putter. And like I had mentioned earlier, he ranks 4th in the sim in average finish. He averages about a 31st place finish here. But ranks 2nd in win percentage. Won 7% of the time. That is significantly higher than, I think, Rose was 3rd with about 4 or 5%. So Brooks Koepka has winning GPP upside. Definitely a high double bogey worst percentage though. So he can, he has a top 5, top 2, top 1 upside obviously, but he can also just blow up and miss the cut at any given time. So Koepka is pretty much just the ultimate GPP play. Then you've got LT Gray, Tiger. Now if you look at his last 8 rounds specifically, a lot of the studs, DJ, Justin Thomas, Day, Koepka, Tiger Woods, would say Rose, but he withdrew at the Bridgestone. But, a lot of these studs, their last 2 events played were at Bridgestone and then at the PGA Championship at Bellerive. I like looking at the putting splits from those guys. So it'd be like the last 8 rounds putting. And the reason being is they've had very, very similar greens to what we have here. Here we have mostly Poa Inuit greens, but they're mixed with bent grass. And we actually, those last 2 events that, the last 2 events that most studs have played are 2 of the only courses on the PGA Tour with those exact green types. I think this week we're finding out it has more Poa than bent grass for sure. But still, I try to look at guys that really popped off over the last 2 weeks putting, and Mr. Tiger Woods, number 1 in the entire field in that regard. Actually, number 2, my bad. I forgot to mention Spieth actually is number 1, but Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth, these 2 guys have putted excellently over the last 2 events. And, one of them's Tiger freaking Woods. I know Spieth's in a kind of a rough spot in his game right now. I've actually had a good, performance a few times out recently. But Tiger, oh man, it's almost Tiger time. I can kind of feel the Ides of March blowing in here with him. 3 top 6 finishes in his last 4 events played. Just so freakishly clutch last week on Sunday. He gave Brooks everything he could. Ended up with that runner-up finish. Just another excellent look for him. And, man, just, I don't know, anything that points to Tiger is going to kind of get the hype train rolling for me. And his approach numbers, if we're looking at strokes gained approach on the season, he's been the, outside of Thomas, he's one of the most, just one of the most consistent week to week to week, just You know, he's the greatest ball striker of all time. I can't stress this enough. If you look back historically and run, you know, they have strokes gained metrics going back through, like, 2005. It's a shame he can't go back farther, because pretty much anyone could tell you that the reason that Tiger did the things he did, you know, made over, what, like, 140 made cuts in a row or whatever, is because his iron play was just godly. I mean, he's great with the driver, don't get me wrong, but it was his iron play, his ball striking, that was just otherworldly. You know, no one would even compare to Tiger. So you're looking at the best ball striker that the world has ever seen at a course where ball striking seems to be the play. And man, I can't, you know, it's hard to not use Tiger here. Still GPP only, but... You know, every split, he has over 80% adjusted field rank over the last 15 events, last 25 events, season long, strong fields, just really good numbers for Tiger. Approach, of course, you know, putting on this surface. The off the tee stuff is, you know, fine, I guess. It's acceptable enough. His driving accuracy number is right there with, you know, Day, Thomas, Koepka, so... I'd say let a rip. $10,100, Tiger. It just in such good form. I think Tiger's getting ready to pounce, man. I would really... I don't expect a win. I'd still, you know, obviously expect DJ to have the highest chance of winning here. And I really like Koepka, but really like Tiger as well. I don't know if, you know, if I had to choose straight up between Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods, I'd still take Justin Thomas, but he's just so priced up, and Tiger is such an appetizing price on DraftKings that, you know, he's Woods and Rose, you just gotta play them both. They just made the prices too juicy right there. But if you look on FanDuel, $11,900, he's actually more expensive than Justin Thomas over there. Same price as Jason Day. So just like Koepka, if you like the play, you really gotta pay for him over there. Then let's finish up with Rose here. You know, he withdrew from the WGC Bridgestone event, but it didn't really matter ultimately. Top 20 last week of the PGA Championship, and pretty much top 20 everywhere. His numbers are just ridiculous in this regard. 69% of the time, giggity, he's finishing top 20. 54% of the time, he's finishing top 10. 100% of the time, he's made the cut. He withdrew well before he would have counted at the Bridgestone there, but other than that, you can go back in through the swing season. Just go back, you know, you'd have to go to last year to find a missed cut from this guy. And it's not even him making cuts. It's him just constantly putting up high-end finishes. Doesn't matter where he's teeing it up. All year, he has just crushed it, you know. So we've kind of ran into this the last several majors we've been in. You know, last time there was the injury concern, which... ultimately amounted to nothing from the back spasms there, but it's just a pricing thing. DraftKings is always like, hey, you want to play Rose? Let's make Rose 30%+ owned every time. Let's do it. So, you know, not even 10K, you got to smash him in cash. He's like the first cash game you throw in. Granted, you are listening to a person who said that about Stricker and Tyler Duncan last week, so just keep that in mind, but still, you know, it doesn't matter how you chalk it up. You know, you could look at the made cut percentage on the sim. It ranks third in the sim in average finish, but 91% made cut percentage. That ranks number one in the field. So Rose, no-brainer play in cash games. And then on FanDuel, he's the third most expensive player on the board, $12,000. That's like where he should be priced. That's like good price. Thomas is going to be the chalk there, I'd imagine, but I would still use Rose on FanDuel. Like, if you're playing both sites about equally, which I know not a lot of people do, but if you do play both sites, I would recommend playing Rose on FanDuel and fading him on DraftKings. If you're just doing GPP, just for the leverage. If it's cash, then just play him like everybody else, but on GPP, I'd go for the leverage play and fade him on DraftKings and play him on FanDuel, because I think you can afford 12K Justin Rose. So, gone on a little bit long. That is it for you free guys. If you want to come check out the rest of this pod, Check out the Research Station Simulator, Stat Cruncher, Strokes Gain Metrics, the Showdown Tools, Tournament Breakdown, Historical Performances. Just a ton of value you get from this, and that is just PGA. That's not even counting all of our amazing NFL coverage. NASCAR, of course, to break that down every week. We're getting to the playoffs there here soon. Basketball, of course, is around the corner. Baseball is in full stride. Come check us out, dfsarmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up to support the pod and get a lifetime 10% off discount. And if you are interested in our Beat the Bookie product, check that out at tiny.cc/beatthebookie, all lowercase altogether. Pretty easy to remember there. Go check that out, and just stay tuned here. If you're a VIP, come check out the rest of this deep dive into the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.